It's the Rush Hour catch-up podcast for the new-look Mazda BT50 with Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and reverse camera as standard. Make sure your ute is built like a BT50.
Hey, everyone. It's Luke, Libby, and Dobbo. Peter Fitzsimon joins us again because it is a Friday. We also cover off on Tool of the Week and take your nominations. And Dobbo is off to the Ipswich Cup tomorrow and he's getting fashion advice from his missus, and he's not happy about it. You'll hear it if you hear this. The catch-up, and it starts right up. Friday afternoon, we love this time of the week because we get to chat to this man, Peter Fitzsimon, who doesn't mind telling it like it is. How are you, Fitzy? How's your week been?
Not bad. Going well. Writing books, doing columns, firing up.
Making money.
That's the one.
What's your latest book on? What are you writing at the moment?
Look, I'm not going to hijack this occasion and beg you to read my books. I just don't care if you do or don't read my books. As you know, all I care is you're going to buy my books, okay? Just buy them. The current one out is on Monash and the Battle of Lourhamel. We're coming up to the centenary of this fantastic battle where Australia just split the German line wide open on the 4th of July, 1918. Battle of Lourhamel. It'll bring a tear to a glass eye. Extraordinary yarn. In fact, can I tell you my best story out of it, just to get the sport for a moment?
Yeah, why not? Yep.
Very quickly. His name was Dalziel, and he was known as Two Guns because he was a transporter. He was from up in the Cairns railway shops, and he always said, just let me out those Germans. Two Guns, I'll tear them apart. Come the night of the battle, he's been put forward, the transport driver, they put him forward, he's in the battle, and a German machine gun opens up. Everybody goes to ground, except Two Guns. He jumps up, he charges left, he charges right, he charges forward, he gets the pistols out, he fires, they think he's going to be cut in pieces. He takes out the German machine gun. Subsequently, he'll go on to win a Victoria Cross effort. But anyway, what happens is, right near the end of the battle, Christ almighty, the Germans are retreating, one of the Germans turns around, fires a shot, and it hits Two Guns Dalziel right in the head. He goes down. Okay, and the morning after, they're burying their dead, and there is Two Guns Dalziel, clearly as dead as a dodo, top of his skull blown off, and they're about to throw him into the pit, you know, with due ceremony, but throw him into the pit of the war dead, when Two Guns Dalziel from the Cairns Railway Shops coughs. Oh. He's still alive. And instead of dying on that day, the 4th of July 1918, he lived another 50 years, and not only did he come back and marry his sweetheart, I think he came back and married two of them.
No way. That's amazing. Hey, Fitzy, you know...
He was a Victoria Cross winner, and he had five kids and lived an extraordinary life. But amazing yarn.
Just to make this kind of a sports wrap, I'm sitting here just listening to this story thinking, how as an Aussie do I not already know about Two Guns Dalziel? Yeah. And when we sit here and think about how many sports people have statues and how many sports people in our country will be remembered 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, we'll remember Don Bradman and maybe Wally Lewis and these kind of guys. How don't you think that these are the sort of guys that really we should, as a society, be putting up on a pedestal?
That's a very interesting point you make, because if you can hear that rumbling in the background, I'm down here in Melbourne about to speak at the Powerhouse Rugby Lunch. So Powerhouse is a big Melbourne rugby club, and the greatest star they've ever had. His name was Stan Bissett, and he represented Australia in 1936, and he was picked for the 1939 Wallabies. They got to England on the day that war was declared. So they were about to have a Wallaby tour all through the British Isles. They didn't. They came back. Stan was on the Kokoda track, and in the Battle of Isharava, the height of the Battle of Isharava, Stan Bissett, he and his brother Butch, who was also a rugby player, Stan gets the word that Butch has been shot to pieces. So he makes his way to the front line. He grabs Butch. He carries him back to a clearing, and he's been cut to pieces. He's fought through the night, Butch Bissett, but he holds his hand. They sing Danny Boy till the wee hours. They talk about their family. Butch Bissett dies. Stan leads his company. The Japanese have taken over Isharava. Stan takes the patrol, and he saves everybody's life, and he comes back, and he's a war hero. He meets Mark Lone. Okay, so Mark Lone, Wallaby legend, captain of the Wallabies in the 70s, and Stan said to Mark something like, oh, gee, Mark, you know, you played 42 tests for Australia. I only played one. And as Mark Lone said to me, here was this guy, this war hero that took on, you know, got the military cross, for Australia, Battle of Isharava, campaign Kokoda, and he was saying to me, you know, you played 40 tests, what a hero you are.
No,
whereas Mark Lane's view was the right view of, you want to talk bravery, anybody in anything in sport, it doesn't come close.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Fitzy, mate, I don't reckon we need to talk sport. I reckon you bloody summed it up perfectly.
Let's wrap it up. We'll just say very quickly, good luck to the Socceroos who are playing France tomorrow night. Good luck to the Wallabies. And I think the Australians are playing in the cricket. But does anybody care?
Yeah, and also good luck to the also Fitzy, I know close to your heart. Good luck to the Broncos taking on the Sharks tomorrow night as well.
See ya, thanks guys.
On you, Fitzy. See ya, mate. Hey, anyway, it's Friday afternoon. It means we do our tool of the week, and we have, an awesome prize up for grabs. How about this? Bon Jovi's coming to town, and we got tickets to give away to Bon Jovi, and we're going to do it right at the top of the show right now. If you've got a tool of the week nomination for us. Dobbo, I know you've got someone you'd like to nominate as your tool of the week.
I would. It's two blokes. They were both in clapped-out cars at 11:30 last night on the Centenary Highway up in Brisbane. I'm driving back from doing my footy show cross, and they decided at 11 o'clock at night to have what I would call an out-and-out street race.
Cool.
Disregarding that there was anybody else driving at the speed limit of 80 kilometres an hour. So when I decided that I'd get into the left lane, as good people do, and I wouldn't move, this bloke started tooting me. I don't know where he wanted me to go. I don't know what he wanted me to do. And then he started tailgating. Then when I'm near home, he finally followed me all the way there. And then when he got out, he flipped me the bird. I just like, if that's the best you've got, mate, I'm happy to meet you anywhere, anytime.
Oh, big man. Big
you pull
man.
Up,
hey.
And, you know, so for that, you absolute bogan P-plater. I took your number plate down and I've rung the Ipswich. I've rung the Ipswich police station. I've reported this bloke. You are my...
You're the tool of the week.
Don't you forget it.
I like the fact that Dobbo had to go to lengths to tell us it was in Ipswich. We already knew it was in Ipswich, mate.
Well,
anyway, you've got the idea. If you've got a nomination for us, hit the phones. We'll take your calls. Coming up.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No. It's Tool of the Week.
Yes, full deck of calls here. We'll get to them in just a sec. I just got to nominate someone myself. I ran into a bloke this morning and he said to me, he goes, hey, Luke, I think you're in the newspaper through the week. You're in the Gold Coast Bully. And I go, really? And he goes, well, yeah, it had to be you. It was one of those ones. You know, they do those confidential sections whereby they don't name the person, but they just give you clues.
Anonymous.
Guess who, don't sue sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of deal. Mm. Yeah, and I go, I didn't see it, mate. What was it? He goes, well, I figured it had to be you because the article was this. It goes, who's the media goose who just sold his house but refuses to say how much he sold the house for? Ironic that the guy wants privacy, given the loudmouth regularly asks everybody else inappropriate questions.
Well.
And he had no way, in no way did he feel like, that may be somewhat of an insult. He goes, I just figured it must be you, mate, because you just sold your house. And then he went like this, he goes, and you know.
If the shoe fits.
Go on.
Yeah. Did you say, yeah, I do know, mate.
I sort of did know what he was talking about. Anyway, you are my...
You're the tool of the week.
Let's take your calls now, though. Hayley from Acacia Ridge, who you got?
Oh, mate, I've got a technician at work was meant to show up to a job yesterday for a big customer of ours, $40,000 job, and never showed up. Thought it was today.
Oh, he thought it was today.
Good time to have a calendar.
Did you lose the $40,000 job?
Well, no. I ended up wrangling and getting some technicians there 2 hours late. But we got it done, but I don't think I'll be using that guy again in a hurry.
All right. Well,
I'll tell you what.
Shame him.
No, let's not name and shame him. But...
You're the tool of the week.
Hey, good on you, Hayley. And I reckon that technician, I don't know who you are, but with that lack of professionalism, we'll see you in radio soon.
Exactly. Rebecca from Deception Bay, what's your nomination for tool of the week?
I work in a hospital and there was this guy, he came up and asked her where a certain doctor's office was. And I told him it wasn't at this hospital and this guy was adamant this doctor was working at our hospital. I said, no, he does not. Gave him directions to the actual hospital the other one worked at. Didn't believe me. Googled it on his phone. Turned around and said, so you're right, and then walked off.
No apologies, nothing.
No apology, nothing. Just turned around, walked straight back out.
Ye of little faith, Rebecca, hey.
That's it.
Exactly.
Well, he actually the tool of the week. The dude actually had heaps of faith, just not in humans, only in Google. Thanks for your call, Rebecca. Hey, let's go to Tim. Let's see what Tim's got for us out of Redlands. So who did you want to nominate, Tim?
Firstly, I'd like to nominate Dobbo for his Villabin fiasco during the week.
Your phone's cutting out a bit there, mate. Did you say his wheelie bin fiasco, where his bin fell out the back of his car?
Yeah, and all the recycling, how he's doing good for the environment.
Right.
And secondly, myself, I was dropping my boy at football training the other night, and we were there a little bit early, and the kids were mucking around, running around before training. And as you do when you're a kid, you put both hands on the fence and you jump the fence and you think you're pretty cool. So I thought, gather all the boys. I say, oh, watch this. I bet your dad can do it with no hands. So I run up, jump the fence, and I didn't factor in that I had my work boots on still. So I've clipped the top of the fence with my work boots and bang, face first into the grass.
Hey, rock on, mate. Well, for doing that, mate, and thinking you're a teenager again, you are. You're
the tool of the week. All righty, some very worthy candidates there. We need to decide on a winner of these tickets to see Bon Jovi.
I'm staying out of it. Muggy, you decide. Tim from Redlands. He did a double up willy. He went Dobbo with his wheelie bin and him jumping a fence. You got Rebecca from Deception Bay, that old mate wouldn't take directions off her at the hospital. And the technician that lost a $40,000 deal.
Yeah, look, I always love a self-nomination, but this week I'm going to go with the technician in Sydney. He didn't turn up to the $40,000 job, but great job to Hayley, who managed to get somebody else to back it up and do the job for her a couple of hours later.
All right, Hayley, you got the tickets.
Yay! Thank you!
Well done. Bon Jovi coming back to town. Tickets on sale Friday, June 29. So 2 weeks from now, middayticketech.com.au. That is how we do Tool of the Week. Every Friday for Trade Tools, they know you'd rather use the right tool than look like one. Get it right. Get in to see the guys at Trade Tools.
Tomorrow up in Brisbane, and it's a fantastic day, and there's lots that I go to preparations. It's sort of my day out. I go there with KG. It's close to where I live, and I don't mind it. So this year...
Doesn't this weekend mark your 12-month anniversary with KG?
It certainly does. Yeah, it's a special time.
It's a special.
Yeah, hooking up at the Ippy Cup.
Ippy Cup.
No, nothing better. Anyway, for that...
Go on. As you were.
It's not a funny thing with a romance between KG and I. Anyway, I decided that I was going to go a little bit outside the box, Luke, and I took this inspiration from you because...
From me?
Yeah, you're a bit out there with your dress sense, and it's not,
no,
it's not conventional.
Luke runs the same stuff most days.
Normally I wear just jeans and a check shirt, and, when you go to the races, everybody... I don't go to the races very often, but you wear a suit and a tie, so...
You do run the Bushman's dress code.
I dress...
Jeans, RMs, yeah, stripe,
always
polo.
RMs. I dress appropriately to where I'm from.
What are you taking from me that you're going to get dress sense
well,
from
look,
me?
You're wearing a shirt with no collar today and you think that's a good look. But anyway, so I mean, it's out there.
But I'm not going to the races, mate. This is what I wear. It's a T-shirt.
I'm going to the races tomorrow and I decided I'm going to be out there. So I've got some cream slacks. I bought some blue sort of suede-y sort of shoes, a white
like
shirt,
Elvis.
A blue sports coat, and a matching bow tie and pocket hanky. And I thought, you know what, I've just been looking around. I thought, I'm going to just mix it up a little bit, dare to be different. I think it looks good.
Were those on sale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, but
are cream pants safe at the races when you're drinking rum and coke?
Anyway, no. I laid it out on the bed this morning.
Can I just stop it? You're not wearing a shirt like... Look, mine's a T-shirt. Are you wearing
a collared shirt. A collared shirt, yeah.
Right.
So I laid my outfit.
I think that was him having a go at your dress sense, Luke.
Well, yes, it was. He didn't get it. I was laying out on the bed this morning, all my outfit. KG walks in and goes, "What's this?" And I said, "This is my outfit for tomorrow for the races." And she goes, "You're not seriously wearing that." And I'm like, here I am thinking I've done a good job. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, "Mate, you wear a suit. You've got plenty of good suits. A charcoal grey suit, matching tie and hanky. You look the part. You're not wearing that to the races. We're in a corporate box." And I'm like, well, hang on. I said, when are you going to tell? You're not going to tell me how to get how to dress. And then I started thinking about it. Like, I don't want anybody telling me what I can and can't wear. She's now saying to me, I think you don't look very good. Now I've got all insecure. And I went to my mother. I rang my mum. I said, Mum.
You're such a baby. You are such a baby.
I rang Mum and I said, Mum, do you dress Robert? And she goes, yes, I do, because he's got no dress sense. And I said, well, I actually think I have dress sense. And she goes, well, you don't really. You wear footy shorts and T-shirts in your downtime, and you wear jeans and a check shirt and boots.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes, maybe you should listen to Kylie's opinion on this. And I'm like, I don't give a crap if I look bad. I'm standing strong. I am not going to be dressed by my partner. Yeah, now, I don't know if it's a thing. Do you dress Corey?
Corey, he actually asks me for my opinion on what he's wearing. He's got pretty good taste. And he's the same as you. He lays out his outfit, but he then goes, what do you think of this? And
yeah, I said, he picks that's his battles. He's a smart man.
Okay. Yeah, I said, I think that looks good. Look, or maybe you should change the tie to Corey's match this or whatever.
Corey's a bit different. Luke. Has Kathy ever dressed you?
No, she's never dressed me. But I say stick to your guns, mate, because I saw the outfit that you laid out and were planning on wearing to the races tomorrow, and I think you're going to win fashions on the field. Now, it's the ladies' fashions in the field, but still, mate, you're still in with a shot.
All right, well, give us a call, 13 27 10.
13 27 10. I want to know, are you dressed by your partner, and is it a thing, or is KG completely out of line, blowing my dress sense, the fact that she thinks that I look like crap.
She should be cooking your dinner, Dobbo, not telling you what you wear into the races.
Come on, mate. I've got some new fashion for tomorrow's Ipswich Cup. I laid it out on the bed this morning. KG tells me there's no way in hell I'm dressing in a sports coat, slacks, suede shoes and a bow tie, and I need to get back in a suit. I tried to stand up for myself. I rang my mother, and I'm trying to defend myself. I'm not a ball bag. I'm not going to be... I can tell you now, I'm not going to be dressed by my partner.
I can't wait to see what he actually turns up in tomorrow.
What if she dresses you and makes you look better than you were going to look?
It's not possible. I put it to the phones. You know, should I be complaining about this? Is it a thing that women dress their partners? Penny from Benowa. Point, how are you? What do you think?
I just want to say that Dobbo does need to dress by his partner because he called them slacks. That's the first mistake.
What else are they?
What are they, Penny?
Well, they're not... Pants, trousers, slacks, no.
Chinos.
Slacks is a little bit grandpa-ish for my liking too. I'm with you on that one.
It is very 50s, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you're one step away. When you're referring to your pants as slacks, Dobbo, you're one step away from referring to your jumper as your cardigan. I mean, come on.
Good spotting, Penny.
Thank you, Penny. We appreciate you calling in to hang it on Dobbo. We always enjoy that. Shannon's given us a call as well from Upper Coomera. What are your thoughts?
My husband dresses me.
Yeah. Well, why you got bad dress sense?
Yeah, I'm a country bumpkin Kiwi, and he's from England, so he has a certain way of dressing. So if I put something on, he's like, you're not wearing that, and then makes me go change many a time.
But it sounds a little, and I mean this, you know, with the utmost of respect, it sounds a little Taliban-ish to me, you know. Like, I mean, is he giving you permission to wear it, or do you just value his opinion?
No, he just thinks that I dress like I am off the farm.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
There's a standard dress code to adhere to.
Well,
Shannon, Dobbo is off the farm. Mm. So,
you could be a perfect fit, Shannon, for me.
That's a good way around it, Dobbo. You and Shannon.
Yeah, imagine. Hey, Darren from Burley. G'day.
Dobbo.
Yeah, mate.
If Luke had got you to tell your story before the Tool of the Week, I will nominate you for Tool of the Week, having to ring your mother.
Oh, no. I mean, doesn't it sound, Darren... It sounds a little bit like when Dobbo has a fight with KG or Kylie, his fiancée, that he rings his mum to dob on her. That's the way
I might do that occasionally.
I know, but choosing a hint, while you're ringing your mother, Dobbo, You have been married before. Did you ring your mother then? That's why the marriage might have finished.
Yeah. There's a few other factors, but yeah, you could be right.
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Hey, good on you, Darren. It's a tough one for Dobbo because he's got Kylie, his fiance, telling him what to wear. Mm. He's got his mum telling him what to do, and between that, he can't work out what handbag to wear with his outfit tomorrow to the races.
That's the catch-up podcast for the new-look Mazda BT50 with up to 3.5 tonnes towing and the grunt of a 2.2 or 3.2-litre diesel engine. The new-look Mazda BT50 is built tougher than a $2 steak. You can catch us weekdays from 3 on 104.5 Triple M and Gold 92.5.